Get down. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It is my privilege and honor to introduce Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, back on the airwaves. Good morning to you, Dr. Craig. How you doing, sir?
Good, Earl. How you doing?
Listen, we got to be doing great. You know, when you listen to conservatives who are not willing to fund health care for the veterans that they claim to love, when you have conservatives like Ron Johnson talking about monkeying with Medicare and Social Security right in the middle of campaigns, you got to be kind of doing all right, huh?
Yeah, this is a phenomenon that people that study ideologies understand. That if you look historically, ideologies, especially extreme ones, tend to try to perfect themselves and go too far, and they can't help themselves. I mean, why on earth would the Republicans in the Senate, U.S. Senate, in a state of pique because they were mad that the Democrats were going to have a budget deal on climate, health care, and taxing corporations more fairly, the biggest ones that dodge their taxes by planning their profits overseas, they're mad about that. And so they go and vote down a bill for veterans who have cancer from what we did, burning our supplies as we moved around in open pits. So they of course they offended a very powerful figure, John Stewart, in so doing, who is to be commended for being part of the veterans' rights movement and out there as one of the folks who thought it was going to pass. It was supposed to pass. It was bipartisan. And then Ron Johnson, why on earth they call Social Security and Medicare a third rail for a reason? But Ron Johnson, because he actually believes this stuff, that's the only possible explanation, there's no political advantage, goes and grabs the third rail with both hands and then tries to back away.
Robert, I just don't understand. These should be death nails with elections right around the corner. You know, you would think that Ron Johnson doesn't need any more fodder. But he doesn't have any better sense, does he?
You just have to think he believes this stuff.
Yeah.
Because there's no political calculation there. The MAGA group of Trump sycophants in the party, which is a 25% to 30%, you know, hard, solid vote for them, is with him anyway. There's no one pining, even among right-wing conservative voters, to jeopardize Social Security and Medicare. A whole lot of them are on it or plan to be on
right.
it and don't have any other any alternative. I mean, there's no way. I mean, insurance companies charge you more based on health conditions, and when you age, you get more health conditions. The reason we got Medicare in the first place is because most seniors were uninsured in their golden years because insurance companies wouldn't insure them even when health care was much cheaper in the 1940s, 50s, and early 1960s before passage of Medicare. So he has to, you got to believe he believes this stuff, but they're also getting a little, Earl, I think, a little complacent in that they know their base is so strong and that hate works, that no matter what they do, they can make their voters hate the other side even more by disinformation and lies, like you see on Tucker Carlson nightly on primetime. But there are limits that we have. This is a problem across the country. Republicans are nominating potentially unelectable candidates, and it may be like 2010. They could have won the Senate, U.S. Senate in 2010, but they couldn't because they had too many extreme candidates on the ballot. So their worst enemy in general elections is their own voters in primaries, it appears, Earl.
You know, Dr. Craig, and our own Mandela Barnes, who is kind of like the last man standing, are you surprised at all about what transpired over the last couple of weeks with the three toughest competitors all dropping out inside of a 2-week period?
I mean, I don't. Did anyone predict it? If so, they'd be standing up and waving their arms, right, and saying, "Look, I predicted this." Any of the pundits who make a living making political predictions, it's very unusual that you have three strong candidates pull out before a primary. And with the amount of money Alex Lazary had at his disposal, and potentially Sarah Godlewski as well, who is also independently wealthy, though not as wealthy as the Lazarys, I thought they might go in with huge ad buys and make it an extremely close race. So I was assuming a nail biter. I guess if you were, you know, I think the Packers would be surprised if the Bears threw in a white flag at the beginning of the fourth quarter. But, you know, that might actually happen with how bad the Bears have been in recent years.
Leave my team alone. You know, Dr. Craig, it's a sign of the strength of one Mandela Barnes. And people ask me, do you think he can really defeat Ron Johnson? I said, absolutely. Listen to what Ron Johnson continues to do, Dr. Craig. A guy who's been a United States Senator for two terms, all things being equal, is almost unbeatable.
Yeah, you know, and I didn't want to put too much shade. I agree with you on the other candidates. I think legitimately, some of them thought it was in the best interest of the common good for them to pull out and make sure Mandela was going to be a strong nominee. So they were thinking about how bad Ron Johnson was. So I think, and each one differs in their calculation, and we don't have to get into all of that. But I think they were driven in part. This is how it fits with your question, how important it was for beating Ron Johnson, not just because Ron Johnson is unfit to be in the U.S. Senate, but because Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and potentially Ohio, if it keeps going well, can determine the balance of power in the U.S. Senate. And we have not had a governing majority because we have two conservative Democrats that are not on board for President Biden's entire agenda. It's amazing how close we are to doing his whole agenda because it would pass the House as currently constituted, and we have 48 of 50 senators. If we can hold the existing seats and add Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, we can pass a lot more than we did in the first 2 years of the Biden administration, and we can really show that democracy works, which I think is the key to making Democrats a majority party. They have to show they can deliver, and it's been really hard because of two conservative senators.
So let's talk about the Wisconsin again and stay with Wisconsin. And I was watching the debate with Tim Michaels and Rathman and Strawberry Shortcake. Rebecca Clefish. And
so her husband is on the station, I've heard.
I know. Yeah, he's on the station. But the truth of the matter is, Dr. Craig, you're listening to Tim Michaels, who clearly has spent $12 million of his own money, and who, if you listen to him, I was listening to him on the debate, on the other day, and he was asked a question about whether or not he supports Donald Trump, and he clearly stated that I haven't made a decision on who I'm working on and focusing on what I need to be doing for my own campaign. And then on yesterday, he changed his mind, and I forgot where he was, but clearly on tape, he said, I'm supporting Donald Trump. Donald Trump is coming in a day or so. And if you got a man who will lie like that, Dr. Craig, about nothing, right? I mean, what do you think he's going to do if you give him a platform to become one of the most powerful people in the state and yet one of the most powerful people in the world? What reassurances would people have when they don't know him? This is the only thing they can garner from him, is that he'll lie about nothing.
Well, remember, I think the Washington Post determined that I think Donald Trump lied an average of 20 times a day for his presidency. And maybe I'm overstating it. Maybe it's only 15, but it was a large number on a daily basis. Of course, he had access to Twitter then, so we had more opportunities for more lies. I think what this means, Earl, if you look at if you've decided that your political brand is going to be I'm the Trump guy or the Trump gal, right, you have to do whatever Donald Trump says. And Donald Trump has made it clear that he doesn't mind people who cross him and then come back on bended knee. That's why Lindsey Graham is okay with him. That's why Ted Cruz is okay with him and a number of others. And so I think Michael got his string yanked, right, by Tim Michaels. He didn't commit in the debate. He heard from Mar-a-Lago, which I guess is the palace of what they think is the rightful king. And he immediately changed his tune, and that's what's going to happen if you make Tim Michaels governor. Look at how Trump is trying to brutalize Robin Voss for showing any independence. Yes. A rare thing for Robin Voss, but Robin Voss will not go all the way and do something illegal like try to decertify the 2020 election. And Trump is openly saying that he should be turned out by his primary voters. And so that Michaels needs him, and now whatever comes down, he should have known better than to not know that he had to endorse Trump. But remember, Trump is fine as long as you lower yourself and humiliate yourself. And Tim Michaels has done that, just like Lindsey Graham has done that, and Ted Cruz has done that.
You know, it's the theater of the absurd. Dr. Craig, let me ask you, now that, you know, Mandela clearly is going to get the Democratic nomination for United States Senate, there are certainly still three or four other people in the race, but they pale in comparison. We know that Mandela is going to wind up with the nomination. Do you think that it impacts in any way, shape, or form the turnout by Democrats? And does it impact or affect the turnout now that Mandela is going to be able to kind of walk through this?
Yes, I do. And that was, look, we endorsed Mandela at Cis National Wisconsin, partly because we know him, we've known him since he had his first organizing job, when he was looking for an organizing job, know who he is. But in addition, we think modern elections at this time period are about turnout. There's very few ticket-splitting swing voters, though a lot of Democrat consultants appear to act like there are. And we know that Governor Evers, as important as his reelection is, has gone all in on swing voters and is not providing much excitement for people who don't generally vote in midterm elections. A lot of people vote only in presidential elections. And Mandela Barnes is an exciting candidate running on exciting issues. Now, he has to run his campaign in a way that you stay on those issues and don't let there's huge amounts of dark money going to come in and try to distract the issue and accuse Mandela of horrible things. We can't even predict. It's whatever the polling says is the most damaging, they're going to say it. It doesn't have to have any connection to reality, but I can assure you, since Mandela Barnes is a black man, it will have a racial component to it. I could make some guesses, but we'll see what their polling and focus group work shows. We can't be distracted because they're going to turn out their base. Ron Johnson will excite the MAGA base. We need to excite people who are losing hope that democracy matters to them, that it matters who their U.S. senator is. And that means running on things that would improve their life and their life prospects, their communities, and their families. And people are struggling to have any access to good jobs, and their whole extended family is, and they see, you know, they see their schools underfunded, they see all sorts of other issues, lack of access to health care. I could go on and on. They need to think those things will improve if you elect Mandela Barnes. And if we have a governing majority in the U.S. Senate, they will improve, but we have to show people that. And Mandela was by far the best candidate in the Democratic primary for U.S. Senate to do that and to inspire people to vote. And that's the only way we beat hate, is to inspire people with hope hope and real opportunity. And then the thing is, we have to deliver, Earl, because you can get people to come out like President Obama did in 2008 on hope, but then you better deliver or they're going to get hopeless again.
You know, Dr. Craig, down ticket races, if you can't get the turnout, that's certainly going to impact and affect people on the down ticket races, right?
Yeah, and that's always been because we have members at Citizens Action Wisconsin across the state, and we also have paid professional deep canvassers. We have always thought that down ballot races and up ballot being U.S. Senate, governor, president, down ballot being not only local races, but in this general election and state legislative races, for example, that they influence each other both ways, that higher turnout driven by a candidate for governor, president, U.S. Senate, helps the candidates beneath them trying to pull off state assembly races by turning out the Democratic and the progressive base. We also think that really strong campaigns in each assembly district help turn out candidates for the top of the ticket. So we've always tried to get really strong, exciting progressive candidates, the Mandela Barnes of the future, since Mandela Barnes was the candidate we supported as a young, up-and-coming elected leader, who can also excite their communities, and they'll also vote for Mandela Barnes and Governor Evers. So we see a relationship between the two, and we think it's a big mistake when the Democrats tend to focus just at the top of the ticket and don't even field highly competitive or motivational candidates in the down ballot races.
So let me talk a little bit about Governor Evers and an incumbent. And, Governor Evers has favorability ratings in this state. That's still pretty amazing to me that, even Republicans kind of support the job that he's been doing. He's clearly the favorite. It doesn't matter who he's going to be running against. What are your thoughts about the Evers campaign?
Well, his approval ratings are considered high because in our polarized situation now, which has been created by the far right, politicians have such low approval ratings. In other words, Tommy Thompson used to run 65%, near 70% approval ratings. That's not conceivable anymore.
Right.
So Tony Evers running at 50-51 is considered very high. Really, it's not that high historically. And what it means, I think, is that obviously Democrats support him because they see him as the last standing barrier to Armageddon. I mean, you can imagine the horrendous. Look, they'll break up the Milwaukee public schools and put them under the charge of the legislature. Things like that. Have universal vouchers. They will make sure that the Republican nominee in 2024 gets Wisconsin electoral votes no matter what the public says. I could go on and on.
Right.
I'm not even mentioning all the terrible things they will do. And he also is not objectionable to a lot of people. I mean, he's a perfect Wisconsin nice. I mean, how can you hate the man, right? And I think that brand has played very well. It doesn't excite the people who don't vote, though, and that's why the Mandela and Tony Evers ticket with the two top ballot candidates in 2022 in this fall election, why that's a better combination, because Mandela can be the one to inspire people to vote who don't often vote in midterms, and Tony Evers will do well with swing voters, and also he'll be competitive no matter what. We're a 50-50 state, and Tony Evers will win by a percent or lose by a percent or some fraction therein.
Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. On the line, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Dr. Craig, how are things going with the Attorney General race?
Hard to say with those. It's not all the way down ballot, but once you get below the governor's race, there isn't really good polling. So you have to believe, unfortunately for Josh Call, that the biggest influence is going to be how Mandela Barnes and Tony Evers do. In other words, he's not going to run substantially ahead of them. he'll probably run around where they run. I mean, it's possible they would win very close races, he would lose a very close race, but he isn't going to win and both of them lose unless he just ran a point ahead or something. I have no reason to believe at this point that people even know who his Republican opponent is, and of course they're nominated in a week, so that they're not official yet. And it's going to be interesting to see whether money comes in, that I assume, because this is the MAGA era of the Republican Party, that, and I, what I've seen is kind of scary, that their nominee is going to be scary. The question is how Josh Call and others make that known to the public. So I guess I think that the race hasn't really started for most voters, and it's a little too early to tell. But you're right to be concerned about it. We'd probably be prosecuting all of the Wisconsin election commissioners for running a fair election if we had a Republican attorney general right now, because it would likely be a MAGA Trump attorney general.
Let's do this. Hey, Curtis, hang on. We've got to go to a break. We'll come to you. Oh, I guess we can bring him in. All right, Curtis. Curtis, thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hey, Earl. How you doing?
I'm doing
fine. Thanks for your guest this morning. I have a friend that's very conservative, and we've been arguing back and forth, but I told him, everybody loves the quiet mouse. Tony Evers is like a quiet mouse. He does his job. He's like the educated nerd that everybody loves. And that's what's going to win this year, because we only have 11% of the, independents, flip-floppers, and no one wants a show horse. We had a show horse for 8 years, you know, with Walker. Always on TV, always this. If you have the Tony, he's doing a great job and nice and quietly. Everybody loves that, you know what I mean?
Dr. Craig, is he correct that everybody loves the job that Governor Evers has done?
A lot more people. The Republican base hates anyone who's a Democrat and believes he's some sort of bomb-throwing socialist, because that's what they're told. But Curtis is right that I think Governor Walker wore on people. There was sort of Walker exhaustion, which is a limitation for Evers. In many ways, it was an anti-Walker vote, not a pro-Tony Evers vote, right? I mean, there's a mix.
Right.
I'm saying there was a lot of people who were just sick of him being in our face every night on every local news broadcast. I mean, so the show horse that won't go away and stays in your face wears thin after a while. So I think Curtis makes a great point. He makes a great point, especially in the kind of Wisconsin and the Minnesota culture, too, of nice. Tony Evers seems like someone we know in Wisconsin, right? And he's, I was saying, unobjectionable, but he's right. The church mouse tends to be liked. Now, if you're in a crisis and you want something done, you might want someone who's seen as a bolder, more dynamic leader. The Republicans aren't going to provide that. They're going to provide, I mean, my goodness, the choice of their three front-running candidates for governor, it's your different flavor of MAGA.
Yes.
And the third one, the one that's Tim Rampton, is the scariest, and you have to go really scary to be scarier than Tim Michaels
and
Becky
Clayfish.
And Tim Michaels is scarier than Ricky Clayfish, which also seemed impossible, to the point where he's the only politician I know of who needs to say in his own ad that the ad isn't racist.
Dr. Craig, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 on the line. Executive Director of Citizen Action, Dr. Robert Craig. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, before we move on, I just wanted to talk a little bit more about the Republican debate for the opportunity to run against Governor Evers. And education is where I really, let me quote some of these hucksters and what they said about what they'd do if they became the governor. Rebecca Clefish, first I'll fire Tony Evers, who has been in charge of state education, protecting the status quo with the unions for 13 years. We haven't tried that in a while. I believe in lifting all students up, regardless of race or the achievement gap. Truly empowering parents is my plan. Passing the universal school choice program and curriculum transparency and breaking up MPS is a strong start. Prioritizing teaching life skills and critical thinking, not critical race theory, will also help make our schools more successful. Tim Michaels, yes, closing the achievement gap is important to me, but Milwaukee students of every color are being poorly served by a public school system that continues to fail generations after generation. I encourage everyone to go to MichaelBlueprint.com to see my plans for education reform, including universal school choice and an emphasis on early literacy. Literacy is the passport for all future education. We need to get all kids reading at grade level. That's the first step in improving schools. Rantham, when it pertains to education, Wisconsin is facing a problem similar to other states in the schools, and educators are increasing the focus on radical racial and gender ideologies. I can't go any further before I throw up and get angry. Here's what is so frustrating to me, Dr. Craig, about these people who act as if the state is somehow going to break up Milwaukee public schools and the state is going to take on educating, you know, 70,000 students in a school system. The legislature doesn't want to have anything to do with educating those children, Dr. Craig. They can keep pushing and leading people to believe that they have some answers. Well, we'll give it to the private school. I mean, yeah, the private school system. Private school system has not shown any proclivities outside of where they've selected and handpicked and cherry-picked the best of the students that they have been able to educate. But the masses of the students with the issues that impact and affect children, i.e. lead poisoning, i.e. living in war zones, i.e. Parents living in poverty, children living in poverty, acting as if all of those things don't have some impact, Dr. Craig, on children and the prospects for their education.
Look, this is a undermine government, make it not work, then turn around and say it doesn't work and try to benefit politically and to destroy it further. So Milwaukee public schools are badly underfunded. All the educational research on what to the kids in Milwaukee would need shows that, and all you need to do is go and look at the physical facilities. It's all visible that are out in the suburbs versus what is in right. The city of Milwaukee. That is an obvious sign, but it goes deeper than that. That's just the physical, visible manifestation of it. And public education is extremely popular. It goes back further than Medicare and Social Security, that is one of the great American contributions to modern democracy. In the 19th century, universal free public education, that's what it was. I'm using the 19th century term. They want to undermine it, just like Ron Johnson wants to undermine Medicare and Social Security. And the idea is to discredit it, claim things are going on that aren't going on, like the teaching of extremism in our schools, which is simply not happening. It's not evidence-based. It's another big lie. And the myth that giving parents control and sending them with the same amount of money to voucher schools and private schools is going to lead to better education. It's unaccountable. And by the way, once it's a voucher, then the Republicans can cut its value and start to, and they, it just takes one little tweak to make it so what, how good a school you can go to depends upon how much money you have. And you have to go to a low-quality welfare school if you can't pay for it, as opposed to universal free public education for every child. It, this is unpopular. In terms of the polling, Earl, most Wisconsinites, both parties, increase support more education funding and support it much more than tax cuts. They move with the tax cuts anyway because that's what they believe in. They're on a mission to undermine the basic elements of democracy, and one of the basic elements is a universal free public education, just as the voting mechanisms they're attacking now also are a key part of our democracy.
You know, Dr. Craig, you can marvel at what conservatives and Republicans have been able to build, this infrastructure, this national machine that is in many instances so frightening that you may see them at some point in time create a constitutional amendment at the root of all of these things to give them permanent control over what happens in this nation. These are the things, Dr. Craig, that are at stake. And I sometimes wonder if people really understand how sinister this has become, Dr. Craig, and why it has to be stopped.
Well, they're doing that now as far as, well, one constitutional amendment they've already been doing is they're using this U.S. Supreme Court they packed to change law, to change the Constitution, to invent new things in it, like the right to carry any kind of military weapon you want, starting when you're 18, which is not in the Constitution and never even anticipated or imagined by the people who framed it or anyone in the last couple hundred years until recently. And so they're already changing the Constitution. So God knows they've already decided, this Supreme Court, that gerrymandering, that is rigging elections so you can never lose them by the way you set up districts, is legal, which is why the state assembly will be Republican, supermajority Republican, no matter what the voters say. That's not democracy. In addition, Earl, this is not science fiction. They are a couple states away from holding a constitutional convention and rewriting the whole Constitution. And Wisconsin just joined that effort. Doug Ofollet, our Secretary of State, finally had to send over the certifications because it was passed during the Walker era when they had full control. But we now only need two more states to have a constitutional convention, and then legal experts say all bets are off. They could do whatever they wanted with the Constitution. They can write an entirely new one.
Let's do this. Let's bring on Mr. John. Let's bring on John. Good morning to you, John. Thank you very much for holding. What do you say?
Well, this conversation has gone really off the deep end, and I understand why, because Republicans have gone off the deep end. But I wanted to go back to education, and the first thing I'm going to say is this whole idea of school vouchers and supporting private schools with our money, public money, is pretty outrageous to me. I spent 40 years plus as a professional educator. All levels from sixth grade to university level. And I've taught in public, private, and parochial schools. And I'm going to say about private education, first of all, generally, education is not any better than public education, and studies have shown that. And in many cases, it's not as good as education. Secondly, the teachers in private situations don't have any say really over their working conditions, and that deteriorates the quality of the person that you're going to get as a teacher, and also the quality of the education the students get. And finally, those private schools don't have to take anybody they really don't want to. Choice education is just that. The school gets to choose whom they want to educate. And public schools serve everybody. So giving more public money, private schools, and even worse, to for-profit schools is a very, very bad idea at best, and it's, in my opinion, it's theft of public funds at its worst.
Thank you very
much. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call, John. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to John's?
John has it right, and it's what privatization tries to do. It tries to take public power. We control, we have elected school boards that decide policy and a state government that and a governor that, and, you know, elected Department of Public Instruction secretary that do it. It is transparent and accountable versus unaccountable private actors that can, they don't have to spend on particular anything. They can siphon the money for all sorts of purposes, but that is the Republican agenda to take, to undermine the basic element of democracies and transfer the nation's wealth over to a few private special interests. And John's right about the research. After all of the fanfare by the business community and Tommy Thompson, when we became the first state in the country in the late 80s to move into an experimental voucher system in Milwaukee, the research came out 20 years later from universities showing that they were not better. And you'll notice that Republicans did not change their position at all, because that was never what it was about. What it's really been about is undermining public education, not about, they claim they want to get deal with the achievement gap, as they call it, or improve education. Nothing shows that. In fact, can you imagine any line of work, any profession where cutting the top people's salaries, whether they be doctors, engineers, would be seen as a way to improve quality? But that's what Act 10 did. Act 10 was a massive pay cut for teachers, and we think that's going to improve education. We don't think that for any other field. It's absurd.
You know, Dr. Craig, it is amazing to see Rebecca Clefish still talking and standing erect about what they were able to accomplish with Act 10. You would think by now that she would do everything within her power to disassociate herself with that and what took place, but she's still touting it as the greatest thing ever.
Well, she kind of lives in the mythical world of Scott Walker campaign ads.
Right.
That's why we're not going to have Medicaid expansion, another Walker disaster, where we are paying substantially more to give less people health care. You know, the opposite of rational. We've given away billions of dollars for no reason, and we've left a whole bunch of working families uninsured and with no access to affordable coverage. In addition, I don't know if she's campaigning on it, but we should bring it up. She ought to talk about Foxconn.
I talked about how that.
Go ahead. That $3 billion investment has just revitalized the whole Racine and Kenosha area, right? No, it's created a husk with very few jobs. It was a big lie all the time. The Trump and Walker deal on Foxconn. So we can get more of that if Rebecca Clefish becomes governor.
You know, Dr. Craig, I want to move now to the national platform and where Democrats are now, because it looked for all the world as if there was going to be a bloodletting in the midterms. But, you know, now with Donald Trump doing his thing, you know, all things may not be lost. I don't know. Did we lose Dr. Craig?
Yeah. No, okay. I'm here. Pulled out my headset.
I'm saying.
I heard it though.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, look, I mean, Mitch McConnell, the Senate minority leader, former majority leader, hopeful of being majority leader again, had it right. He didn't want to have any agenda at all, and what made it make it an amendment over how bad certain things are, like inflation, and that the pandemic has not receded or gone away, and make a referendum on Biden, blame Biden for every problem, and also blame him for the obvious problem he's had passing legislation until recently. That's why the breakthrough with Senator Manchin last week is critical to the elections, actually. But Republicans can't get out of their own way. They've made themselves the issue. And that means that we currently can win the state, the U.S. Senate, and we have a fighting chance to hold the House, which would be hugely important for the future of democracy. Roe versus Wade decision by their PAC Supreme Court is a disaster for them. Look, it's just an amendment to allow the state legislature in very red Kansas to allow them to ban all abortion went down 60-40 last night. That's in a very Republican state. And then you have the insurrection, and then you have things like Ron Johnson saying he's going to go after Social Security and Medicare and put them at risk, put them at the behest of Congress every budget. It goes on and on, Earl. And so the Republicans have managed to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. But the only way to win, it's still bad conditions for Democrats. With it always is in the first reelection of a president whose party also controls Congress. But we may buck that trend, and the inflation problem being very present for people too. We have a fighting chance to do so, and Wisconsin's again a bellwether. I think our governor's race and our U.S. Senate race will probably tell a lot about whether we hold on and build a bigger majority to actually govern, or whether we have pre-fascist rule at the state and the national level.
You know, Dr. Craig, turnout. There was early thoughts that the Democratic turnout was not going to be very strong. There was nothing to really turn out for. And the gas prices were spiking, and it was a foregone conclusion. Certainly with the recession on the horizon, it's nothing to really cheer about if you're a Democrat from the standpoint that you feel great. But, you know, a couple months ago, you didn't think there was much of a chance or much hope. But as you stated, the more you have Marjorie Taylor Greens of the world and you know, the things that they keep doing, as you stated, shooting themselves in the foot, you got a little better feeling that there it might not be as bad as was predicted.
Look, if they're nominating candidates that are hard to elect that exemplify the threat they are. So obviously Ron Johnson is doing that every day and has been doing that as he's gone off the deep end during the Trump era. And my goodness, any of those Republican gubernatorial nominees are very beatable by Governor Evers. If that party, the Republicans, could put up a Tommy Thompson type, they would win the governor's election easily in these political conditions. But it does all come down to turnout these days. There are far fewer, and you know, Craig Gilbert, the longtime reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, did a great story maybe 3-4 months ago that looked at the history of this and showed how few ticket swing voters there are in Wisconsin compared to 20 years ago. It's really about turnout, and turnout of people who might not vote in the midterm and might only vote in the presidential, which means inspiring people. It can't just be what they're afraid of on the other side. It has to be for something that will improve their lives and their communities.
Dr. Craig, it's still pretty amazing to me that when you look at all these things in its totality, that, you know, the economy, all these other things, that the Democrats still have a chance on holding on to the Senate and the House. And the presidency. I mean, clearly, they're still going to have the presidency. But there was 6 months ago. The Republicans were celebrating already the fact that they were going to take over the House, and pretty confident they were going to take over the Senate.
Right, Kevin McCarthy, the wannabe Speaker of the U.S. House, who also is, groveled before Donald Trump. He was probably figuring out how he's going to furnish the Speaker's office. And now it is all in play, but it does, democracy can only be defended by the fundamental act of voting, and voting in large numbers. And that for all people of you know, who are on the right side, who believe in democracy and believe in what the potential of this country still really is to lift all boats and to really achieve the American dream for everyone in this country. That's what we need to inspire people to do. You know, one wise politician, I'm forgetting which one you may remember of the past, Earl, said that, "Don't compare me to the Almighty, compare me to the alternative."
You know, Dr. Craig, with all the different tactics that the Republicans have attempted to deny access to voting, are you still comfortable that even here in the state, let's just deal with the state alone, that all of those different things and all of the organizing that you guys, Citizen Action and other entities have done in groups, get out souls to the polls and others, that the turnout is going to be, an acceptable turnout?
Well, I think it's both people working to overcome those barriers and show people how they can vote when they keep moving the ball, right, getting rid of drop boxes when they're more secure than the mail and just make it easier for hardworking folks to vote, right, not disrupt their work lives or their family lives. But it's also about inspiring people to overcome those barriers. So we need souls for the polls, and we need all of the nonpartisan voter education efforts. But we also need candidates and groups that actually can talk about elections, like the one I lead, Citizen Action Wisconsin, to inspire more people to see the stakes in this election and see what positive benefits come out of it for themselves and their families and their communities. So they're both part of democracy, both having a mechanism for voting that is accessible and people being motivated to vote. And all it means, all the voter suppression that they put in Wisconsin, is that people have to be that much more inspired to vote, and we have to work that much harder to show them what the mechanisms are, because they keep changing.
You know, Dr. Craig, it's so refreshing to have you back on the airways. And for those who may not know, you'll be joining us every Wednesday at this time. And man, you just bring so much inspiration, because it's easy to get discouraged when you realize that the people you're up against aren't exactly people who really care about truth and doing things the right way. These are not people who really believe in democracy, as you stated, who really believe in the Constitution, even though they will lie to you. Their actions certainly are as far away from that as possible.
I agree, Earl, and you saw that the likely Republican nominee for governor in Arizona to provide no evidence of voter fraud he's insisting existed, and that we did just. These aren't folks that are reasonable. They're willing to rely on lies, and they will do anything for power, period.
Hey, Dr. Craig, we got to run. I will see you again soon. Tell Ted I said hello. We got to get Ted on.
I will. I'll let him know.
All right. Thank you. That's Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Connor. I'll be back. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.